Hi, welcome to Maniac Marketers. I am your host, Terry Allison. Tonight we're going to be talking about creating positive change as the ultimate test of a leader in a work-at-home business. And this is part three of the series. My sources come from a book by John Maxwell titled Developing the Leader Within You. Before we get started on all that, let's think about the reasons why people look for a work-at-home business. This is their why. And this may be one of your reasons as well. And your reason may also not show up on this list. But it's not meant to be an exhaustive list, but just some of the general reasons why people even look for a work-at-home business. First, we have the lure of lots of money. You know, people are promised to be making $500,000 a day, $3,000 or $4,000 a week. Sometimes, I mean, some even promise to make you a millionaire overnight. And you know, there's all kinds of things out there. But you know, people are lured into by the hope of gaining all that money all at one time without having to do hardly any work. Excuse me. Then we have people who are looking for a replacement income. Maybe the person's working two or three jobs, and you know, they're just really would like to cut back and only work one job. And so, but in order to cut back, they need to be bringing in some extra money, that replacement income, to offset what they were making in that second and or third job. Some people, maybe they got hurt on the job, and they're needing some income to come in while, you know, since they can't work. So they're needing that. Sometimes it's a mom and a dad, and one of them want to stay home and take care of the kids. But in order to do that, they need to have that replacement income, you know, something coming in to offset what they would have been making had they been working outside the home. Some people, they are just fed up with their boss. They don't like the way he or she looks. Maybe the boss often comes in with a real grouchy attitude. There's a host of reasons, you know. Maybe the boss is, you know, so controlling, you're just really fed up with that, with your boss. Some people, they want to be BYOB, be your own boss. You don't like people telling you what to do. You have a set way of doing things that makes sense for you, and you like having control over that. That you decide what order you're going to do it in, and you just go get the work done. And you have the freedom to be able to do that. Some people do like the freedom and flexibility. They like the freedom to be able to, if they want to take a vacation, they don't have to go and ask a boss, can I take this particular time off? And they just have that freedom, they have the money, and they just go do it. Wouldn't that be grand to be able to live like Elvis Presley and be able to, like, you decide that I'm going to go out to California with my friends and we're just going to go eat breakfast. Be able to, you know, I know it's kind of, you know, far-fetched for some people, but hey, Elvis did it. But so that possibility is out there for us. Some people like to be able to have that flexibility and choose a particular time of year when they want to go do something. Some companies will make you decide, like in December or January at the latest, on when you're going to take your vacation for the rest of the year. And so you got to put in a request. It doesn't mean you're going to get it, but you put in your request, and if it's okayed, then you can take that time off. And sometimes, you know, it's like, who knows where you're really going to be at next Thanksgiving or next Christmas. So, yeah, because those things are, you know, really up in the air. Things happen. Anyway, freedom and flexibility. Some people like the family and family legacy. They want to be able to stay home and watch their kids grow up, be a part of the kid's life, and you know, just watch that whole process to be with family. Some people want to, you know, leave a family legacy. They want the challenge of starting a business, getting it going, and then you know, have some goals along the way, and then meet those goals. And then over time, and as you taught your kids how to run various aspects of the business, that you can just hand that business over to your kids. So you're leaving them a family legacy. Like I say, this is not an exhaustive list by any means. These are just some of the things that you can think over to that, you know, in looking at why you might have might be looking for a work-at-home business. Let's talk about mentoring for a moment. Here at Maniac Marketers, we want to mentor you to be successful in a work-at-home business. That includes using the tools and being a leader in your business. If you're not going to be a leader in business, then why even go on? So let's talk about just review a little bit, just a moment of what we've been talking about over the previous 2 weeks. Everything rises and falls on leadership. You know, it really matters what the leader does. The leader has to be willing to change himself or herself in order to affect change anywhere in the organization. And if the leader's not willing to grow and change, then it's not going to happen. Or the likelihood is not going to happen. And we talked about why people resist change and the reasons for resistance. You know, people don't like to be manipulated around and doing certain things is you know, one of the reasons. They don't understand what you're wanting. So they resist change. And then we talked about the evolutionary process of change, how it's all a process to bring about change. You got to do it in steps. And people got to learn, know what you're doing in order to be able to follow through with you on that. So they got to be re-exposed to this process constantly in order for the organization to grow. So let's talk about creating a climate for change. Human behavior studies show that people do not basically resist change. They resist being change. So we're going to talk about creating an atmosphere that will encourage others to be changed. Unless people are changed, change will not happen. So, and remember what was said just a moment ago, change the leader, change the organization. So let's talk about a leader must develop a trust with people. You know, it is wonderful when people believe in the leader. It is more wonderful when the leader believes in the people. When both are a reality, trust is the result. The more people trust the leader, the more willing they will be to accept the leader's proposed changes. And just like Warren Bennis and Robert Nanas, excuse me, say that trust is the emotional glue that binds followers and leaders together. Abraham Lincoln even said, "If you would win a man to your cause, first convince him that you are his true friend. Next, probe to discover what he wants to accomplish." So the first question to a leader who wants to make changes within an organization is always, what is your relationship with your people? If the relationship is positive, then the leader is ready to take the next step. Let's take the next step, or next slide here. The leader must make personal changes before asking others to change. Most of the time people are thinking that, that other people need to change. Oh, it couldn't possibly be me that needs to be changed. It's, oh, you got to change that guy over there in a blue shirt first. Man, you change him, and man, this place will just be so much better. It's kind of like the John Maxwell's friend here who made a list of New Year's resolutions. It said, be nicer to people, eat nutritious food, be more giving to my friends, cut down on sweets and fats, be less critical of others. Well, his friend that showed him the list, and he was quite impressed. They were great goals. But he asked her, do you think you'll be able to meet all of them? Why should I? She answered, this list is for you. So, see, she was thinking that he needed a change instead of she needing a change herself. Andrew Carnegie said, as I grow older, I pay less attention to what men say. I just watch what they do. Great leaders not only say what should be done, they show it. Good leaders understand the history of the organization. G.K. Chesterton suggests, don't take the fence down until you know the reason it was put up. It is important to know what happened in the past before making changes in the future. So, you need to understand what happened before you took control, before you were placed in the leadership position. Place influencers in leadership position. Leaders have two characteristics. First, they are going somewhere. And second, they are able to persuade other people to go with them. It's kind of like, I just forgot the guy's name. It was right on the tip of my tongue. He's a United Methodist preacher down in the Houston area. He was President Bush's pastor in Washington, D.C. Kirby John Caldwell. I knew I'd think of it if I just let go of it. Kirby John Caldwell. He said, if you're a leader and you're supposed to be leading people, and if you don't have anyone following you, you're just taking a walk in the park. So that's something to think about. You got to persuade other people to go with you, or you're not much of a leader. Check the change in your pocket. Every leader is given a certain amount of change, which is the emotional support in the form of bargaining chips at the beginning of a relationship. If the relationship weakens, the leader gives up change until it is possible for him to become bankrupt with the organization. If the relationship strengthens, the leader receives change until it is possible for him to become rich with the organization. Always remember, it takes change to make change. The more change in the pocket of the leader, the more changes that can be made in the lives of the people. And of course, the opposite is also true. So, got to build up some emotional support with the people that you're going to lead. Good leaders solicit the support of influencers before the change is made. Now, here's some things to think about. I'll give you a kind of a checklist. And I know some of these, you know, we just have to tailor them to the to our work at home situation. But there are some good things to think about in when you're going to make make a change and make it public. First is list the major influencers of the major groups within your organization. Drives me nuts. Okay. List the major influencers of the major groups within your organization. How many will be affected directly by this change? Number three, how many will be affected indirectly by this change? Four, how many will probably be positive? Five, how many will probably be negative? Six, which group is the majority? Seven, which group is the most influential? Eight, if the positive group is stronger, bring the influencers together for discussion. Nine, if the negative group is stronger, meet with influencers individually. And of course, with us being on the internet, that's pretty easy to do. You can talk about things openly in your in the conference rooms, and if it's negative, then you need to talk with each person outside the conference room. But be mindful that people do talk to one another, even in a work-at-home business, because you know we have available to us conference rooms, we have Skype, all sorts of things out there. Okay, develop a meeting agenda that will assist change. Every new idea goes through three-phase process. It will not work, it will cost too much, and I thought it was a good idea all along. A wise leader, understanding that people change through a process, will develop a meeting agenda to enhance this process. And one that he's used, John Maxwell has used over the 15 years, has proved quite effective. You have your information items, just kind of items of, these are items of interest to those attending the meeting. The positive items that boost morale, and that gets your meeting off to a good start. You have study items, items to be discussed but not necessarily voted on. Of course, in a work-at-home business, we don't necessarily vote on things, but you know we do need to get a feel for what other people think about that and share some of the ideas around. And then, of course, the third one would be action items. That's the issues to be voted on. Again, we don't necessarily vote on things, but you got to kind of know how people feel about these things if you're going to try to carry it out. You got to know how people think about that. Encourage the influencers to influence others informally, and that's pretty easy to do. Again, with us being on Skype and stuff like that. Because people will talk. They'll talk the positive, they'll talk the negative. So you just got to, if you really need the help of one particular person and they're negative about it, then you need to find who can reach that particular person and talk with them on the level that they understand that has influence with that person. And work with them and have them work with that person. So you know, major changes should not surprise people. A leadership leak done properly will prepare the people for the formal meeting. And I've seen that all the time in corporate businesses. The rumor will come about that, oh, the company's thinking about doing this, this, and this. And then, there's no place that this could have come from except the top leadership positions. Or even in the lower managerial levels. It gets leaked somewhere just to see how people react. And of course, if people react positively to it, it's like, oh, I'm glad you like that idea. Let's talk that up. And of course, if people are don't feel very good about it, pretty negative, then of course the management will squash that particular so-called rumor. But a lot of that's done just to see how people will react to that. And you can kind of informally discuss certain ideas, and really you need to do that, bounce ideas off of other people, or even in a work at home business, and I do that all the time with Butch, I'm thinking about doing such and such, and then we just kind of talk about it, which leads us to some even better ideas for both of us. I know I get a lot of ideas that get flushed out in just talking with Butch on that. You got to show the people how the change will benefit them. The assumption is the proposed change is what is best for the people, not the leader. The people must be first. So if you want to bring the people along, you got to show them how it will benefit them. Because if they don't, then they're not going to do what you're asking. That's just pure and simple on that one. Give the people ownership of the change. Openness by the leader paves the way for ownership by the people. Without ownership, changes will be short-term. Changing people's habits and ways of thinking is like writing instructions in the snow during a snowstorm. Every 20 minutes, the instructions must be rewritten unless ownership is given along with the instructions. So you show people what they're doing, why they do it, and how it's going to benefit them, and just let them do it. And don't try to control their every move. Just give them the ownership of it and let them go. How to offer ownership of change to others. See, there's about 8 steps on this, and I'll give them to you here. Number one is inform people in advance so they'll have time to think about the implications of the change and how it will affect them. Number two, explain the overall objectives of the change, the reasons for it, and how and when it will occur. Show people how the change will benefit them. Be honest with the group who may lose out as a result of the change. Alert them early and provide assistance to help them find another job if necessary. And now, I know for in a work-at-home situation, if people don't necessarily want to listen to you hopefully you're making the change. It'll benefit everyone. But there are sometimes people that just don't want to plug into your system. And those people, if they don't, follow along, you're trying to feed them along, you can't let them hold you back either. So you just have to tell them. It's like, okay, here's what you need to do. I've laid it all out here for you, and if you don't get it, then I guess you'll be staying in your job. So you just have to help them to understand that. I know it sounds kind of cruel, but hey, you can't let one person hold the entire group back. Ask those who will be number four. Ask those who will be affected by the change to participate in all stages of the change process. Remember, we talked about how it cycles around. So we want the influencers to help us. Number five, keep communication channels open. Provide opportunities for employees to discuss the change. Encourage questions, comments, and other feedback. Of course, you know, we don't have employees necessarily in a work-at-home business unless we have our business, work-at-home business has gotten bigger, and we do have employees, and then so you need to help them along in that. Number six, be flexible and adaptable throughout the change process. Admit mistakes and make changes where appropriate. So if you foul up somewhere, it's like, okay, admit it, and then and make the change, and then go on. You can't dwell on it. Number seven, constantly demonstrate your belief and commitment to the change. Indicate your confidence in their ability to implement the change. So you got to say, I know you can do it. You're about there. Oh yeah, you got it. Yay! You know, you got to be their cheerleader and help them along when they ask for it. Number eight, provide enthusiasm, assistance, appreciation, and recognition to those implementing the change. So you know, if someone's being your right arm person or right hand person. You got to let them know, this is what this person did, and they did such a wonderful job on this project. And you can use that in a work-at-home business, I believe. You know, such and such person came a long way in their work-at-home business. Got a great organization. Change will happen. The wrong question is, will we ever change? Of course we will change. That's why that's such a wrong question. The right question is, when and how much will we change? You know, we've seen over time how our transportation has changed. You know, it's like we went from horse and buggy days to driving a car, to our cars getting faster, our cars coming equipped with run-by computers. So, you know, that's all change. We see change in our everyday life. Microwave ovens. Who heard of a microwave oven before, really, what, somewhere in the 70s? I never knew what a microwave oven was until I think it was probably right around 1980. That doesn't mean that they weren't out there. It's just I'd never used one or anything. So we have change happening around us all the time. So it's you know, I've seen people, you know, resist computers. You know, I wouldn't know anything about computers. You know, I don't have any. I don't want to even mess with them. Well, but the change is going to happen. And even though, you know, we got people out there that say that, sooner or later they seem to hop on the bandwagon. I know my mother, she was not a person to use computers. One of my nephews that was living with her, or living with them, needed a computer for schoolwork, or she thought he needed a computer for schoolwork, thought it might make it easier for him. And then and she got to where she's using a computer now. And now she's on Facebook and able to share pictures out and different things and connect with people. So, you know, change is going to happen. It's just the time. When and how much. So, Not all change, though, is improvement. But without change, there can be no improvement. Change equals growth, or change equals grief. Change represents both possible opportunity and potential loss. And Maxwell's observation is that change becomes grief when the change proposed is a bad idea. The change proposed is not accepted by the influencers. The change proposed is not presented effectively. The change proposed is self-serving to the leaders. The change proposed is based solely on the past. The changes proposed are too many, happening too quickly. One thing we need to remember, it's never too late to change. It's never, 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 never too late to change. Max Dupree said, "In the end, it is important to remember that we cannot become what we need to be by remaining what we are. It's a fact that when you're through changing, you're through." Now here's something about old Alfred Nobel. I bet you it possibly didn't know, or maybe you've heard this story before. So, you know who Alfred Nobel is? You know, the Nobel Peace Prize, you know, is probably what comes to mind for you. However, that's only chapter 2 of his story. You see, Alfred Nobel was a Swedish chemist who made his fortune by inventing dynamite and the other powerful explosives used for weapons. When his brother died, one newspaper accidentally printed Alfred's obituary instead. It described the dead man as one who became rich by enabling people to kill each other in unprecedented numbers. Shaken by this assessment, Nobel resolved to use his fortune from then on to award accomplishments that benefited humanity. Nobel had the rare opportunity to evaluate his life at its end, and yet live long enough to change that assessment. Well, I doubt that that you'll probably read your obituary in the newspaper. The likelihood is probably not that great. You can, however, make a choice today to change. And when change is successful, you will look back at it and you'll call it growth. So let's talk now about business choices. With Maniac Marketers, we teach you how to change and grow to be a leader. That's what we've been talking about. And we also teach you how to build your work-at-home business. With Maniac Marketer's story, let's start by talking about how marketing has evolved for us today. There are all kinds of marketing. There's comment, article, email, traffic exchanges, and a whole bunch of others. Well, there's a kind of a twofold process out there between educational marketing and relationship marketing. Now, what are those? Well, educational marketing is providing information to the person searching for the answer to the question that he or she has. And if you provide the solution, the person will most likely buy your product. Well, then relationship marketing is being able to connect with another person on some level. If the person feels like he or she can trust you, they may purchase your product or do business with you in some form. But I remind you that in relationship marketing, relationship comes first. So whether they buy anything from you or not, our intention is relationship. Yeah, if you go the other way around, it becomes manipulation. We don't want that. Educational and relational marketing. Well, there's some elements of relationship marketing and education marketing. For instance, if you provide personal stories of what you are writing about, people will make a connection with you. It is a way of putting your hand out first for that handshake. Well, then we have the coming together of two ages. We have the information age, and we have the social community age. In the information age, people use Google, Bing, Yahoo, and many more search engines to find information that they are wanting. In the information age, Google logs 2 billion searches a day. So that's probably about 300 million people use Google a day. And Bing has 10% of the search engine market, while Yahoo has 100,000 searches a week. In the social community age, we have people that are coming together to share common interests. That's why these communities like Facebook, MySpace, Ning, Dig, Skidoo, YouTube have grown significantly over the last few years. Let's talk a moment about the social community age, Facebook in particular. There's more than 500 million active users. 50% of our active users log on to Facebook in any given day. And I say our active users, it's Facebook's, like I'm working for Facebook. But that's the way I found it on the search engines. Anyway, an average person has about 130 friends. So that's where your sphere of influence comes from. That's why, you know, you could talk to 130 people, and then but you know, their 130 friends might be something that sees a line of yours about some information that you're offering. Twitter. As of April 2010, there's about 106 million registered users. They're signing up about a rate of 300,000 per day. So if we do the math on that, we're in the first part of the summer here, we're probably looking at Twitter having about 210 million registered users. There's about 180 million unique visitors come to the site every month. 75% of the Twitter traffic comes through Twitter.com. There's about 55 million tweets a day. Twitter's search engines have about 600 million search queries per day. So about 37% of active users are using their phones to tweet, because they carry their phones around with them all the time. So I bet that number's even changed some. Now, the Wall Street Journal, as of February 23rd, 2011, the ComScore for email usage for ages 12 to 17 dropped by 24%. Web-based email dropped by 6%. So you can see that people are kind of, especially this age group, are kind of leaving their email behind because they're carrying their phones around. It's so much easier to contact their friends just by using the Twitter. Our product that we have in our business in the Maniac Marketers is Trivita. Trivita is a health and wellness business. They have your regular vitamins, vitamin A, B, C, D, E. They have men's and women's vitamins, daily vitamins. They also have some vitamins specifically for the women and the men. They have several anti-inflammation products. They have calcium. You name it. I mean, they have a team of doctors, research doctors, going through and making their products better all the time. Well, Trivita has a twofold mission. Trivita wants to inspire and help people experience greater overall wellness. So if you're able to stay healthier, basically being proactive in your health, then hopefully you won't have to go to the doctor as often. So you can save cost in doctor visits. Now, it's not, Tri-V is not meant to, you know, be considered a cure-all or anything like that. We're just, they're just being proactive in the health and trying to teach us how to do that. Well, Tri-V also wants to give people the opportunities to create wealth for your own life purposes. So they do all this based on their mission, and it's designed to benefit you and me. Well, then we have our Veritex system. It is our marketing system. In this system, we have there's several different tools. I only list out a few of them here, but there's a lead generation system, there's classified ad system, splash page maker, ad submission tool, blogging system, bulk mailer, tracking tools. There's, it even has its own search engines and directories. It's all out there to help you to market your products, which we market Tri-Vita. So, and it's, you know, you're putting your information out there on the search engines, and by gaining top positions on search engines like Google, you're putting your information out there in front of the people, so that you you know, you've done your keyword research and you're putting information out there where people are looking. And we also have a social community. Maniac Marketers has this community here, and you know, even if you don't join us, you can come and gain some information about what we're doing here at tomorrowshomebusiness.ning. It's ning.com. And in this community, we basically teach exactly the same things that as taught in the Veritex system. You can post information through blogs and videos. You share information from one location to other social communities. Like, you don't even have to go outside the community. You can just push a button and you can share your information to Facebook and to Twitter and to MySpace and Delicious and Dig and StumbleUpon. And you can also send it to a particular person if you have that person's email address. You can create your profile page to represent you. For me, I want to get a Harley Davidson. So on my profile page, I have a picture of a Harley Davidson that I, you know, it keeps my dream out there in front of me. So, and you can do that too. Find a page that represents you. Let people get to know you a little bit. Make it a conversation piece. Profile pages are promotable on the search engines. So you can promote your one page that's got all your links, whatever business that you do have, or your Tri-Vita business, and you can promote those all at one time. You can use the RSS feed. If you have a blog out there, you can maybe a second or third one or whatever, you can use the RSS feed and bring it inside the community here. We're just people working together, and we're in a relationship, building on that relationship. Our group is the Maniac Marketers. Again, we use our business is Tri-Vita. That's our products. Our tools that we use is the Veritex system. We don't need any other tools other than our Veritex system, marketing system. And to enhance that, we have a community out there, so you can go and learn to see about the things that we're doing in the Maniac Marketers group. So Butch Hamilton was a person that has shown several of us how to get to the top of the search engine. And so we've become very, very, very good in that process, and we're willing to show you. So with Maniac Marketers, we promise to teach you how to change and grow to be a better leader. And we also teach you how to build your work-at-home business. Now, the Maniac Marketers invite you to a successful work-at-home business. So, if someone brought you here, get back with the person that brought you and get more information. If you don't have any particular person that brought you, you can contact me. Here's my contact information. It's Terry Sr., that's just TerrySr.veritech.com. My Trivita link is trivita.com/13134349. You can contact me on Skype at Allison Marketing Group. Again, the social community link is tomorrowshomebusiness.ning.com. Well, thank you for listening to this presentation. And we have these conferences once a week on Thursdays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. So look forward to seeing you again. Thank you.